Hey everybody, welcome back to Keeping It Real, the Vancouver and area residential real estate podcast that aims to cut through all the malarkey that you hear about real estate in the Lower Mainland, or, you know, around the Lower Mainland. My name is Jackie McCarnan, and I am a residential realtor with RE/MAX in North Vancouver, well, West Vancouver. My office is in West Vancouver, but I work predominantly in North Vancouver and downtown. But mostly this podcast is just about providing information for you, the listener, on all things to do with real estate in the Lower Mainland and for most parts of British Columbia as well. If you listen to the podcast, you'll know that every week I throw in a little disclaimer to keep my managing broker happy. And for anybody working in real estate, you should keep your managing broker happy. Here's the disclaimer. Anything you hear on the Keeping It Real podcast is my opinion based on research and experience. There are lots of opinions out there, particularly among other realtors, and I am happy to discuss them, what I think, based on the research that I've done. Here we are in episode 13. Anyway, one of those. And I got to tell you guys, I've been having a great time doing this podcast. It's been so much fun. I get an amazing amount of great feedback from people. And I like to say this every time. If you have any subjects, anything you want to know about, I am happy to do a podcast about that to prove that what I say is true. This week's podcast is a request from one of my listeners. On this week's show, we're going to be talking about strata windup. So what is a strata windup? Why do people wind up the strata? What do you need to know? There's all kinds of stuff that I'm going to talk about in this one, and I hope that you will find it informative. I sure did while I was researching it. Alrighty, let's get into it. So what is a strata windup? I'm sure you have heard this term before, and if you haven't, you probably don't live in a strata. Certainly somebody in a single family home would not need to know what this is. But basically, in a nutshell, a strata windup happens when 80% of the owners vote to sell off their units. Most of the time, that would be to a developer who is going to tear everything down and develop the land. Why do people want to have a strata windup? In a lot of cases, it's because the cost of maintaining the strata lot, which is real estate speak for everything in the strata. So a strata lot would be, if you're in a condo, that whole building is called the strata lot. Anyway, so oftentimes what has happened is that it's become too expensive. The owners are getting too many special levies. They're having to shell out more money than it's worth. And it would actually be more financially feasible or advantageous to live somewhere else. So at some point, you know, places break down. So at some point, the owners get together and they say, hey, we don't want to live here anymore because it's costing us a fortune. How do we get rid of it? How do we get the most bang for our buck? Just a quick note about how it's voted upon. So in the old days, I don't know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, a little while ago, you used to have a unanimous vote to wrap up the strata, which was nearly impossible because, you know, you get somebody in there who's in their 80s and they don't want to move and they just say, no, I'm not moving. And then that would end the discussion and everybody still had to pay the special levies. But now the vote is 80%. And it's not like a quorum vote. It's 80% of the registered owners have to vote to wind up the strata. 80% or more, obviously, to vote to wind up the strata. They don't have to be there to vote, but their vote counts. If you're a registered owner, your vote counts. I feel like I haven't done a story time in a while, and this one is kind of ripe for a story. I couldn't think of any names, so I don't know. Maybe we'll just say Jackie, because I'm being super lazy. Jackie lives in a two-bedroom condo in a development in North Vancouver where there are 120 units in the development. There are 1, 2, and 3-bedroom places. The development sits on 4 acres of land and it's old. Like it's in its 50s. It's old. It's as old as Jackie, which is old. And the BC assessed value of the units in this development is around $660 per square foot. So that's where we're going to start. For the last couple of years, the Strata Council has met at Jackie's development and they have it seems like something's going wrong every day. You know, we need a new roof, we need a new boiler, the windows need to be replaced, there's something wrong in the foundation. Big one in North Vancouver is underground parking. That's a big one. It has to be all fixed again. Let's say the pipes are starting to wear out. They need to be replaced. Like, it's getting really expensive. So every year I'm getting hit, Jackie's getting hit with 10, 20, sometimes even more special assessment or special levy, as they are called, which is quick little primer here on how money works in a strata. So you pay your strata fees and all that money goes into a big pot, and out of the big pot comes all kinds of stuff like services and whatever the strata pays. Oftentimes it's maintenance. I mean, it's always maintenance, but other stuff like maybe gas. Anyway, lots of stuff comes out of that. What's left is called the contingency reserve fund. And oftentimes, hopefully, the strata has accumulated some money in that contingency reserve fund as like a rainy day fund. So if something goes wrong, there's money in the strata fund to pay for it. Now, great big things that have to be done, like a roof or even sometimes painting the entire development, those are kind of expensive. So there won't be enough money in that contingency reserve fund to pay for everything. So they have to go to the owners and say, hey, we need you to kick in some money for this. And if the strata council has voted to do that particular thing, let's stick with painting, then you as a strata owner are obliged to kick in your share. So that's how strata fees work. Again, once you have to kick in your share a lot and it's becoming more and more likely that you're going to have to pay more and more, I start to think, how come Sarah doesn't have to pay as much and she lives in a really nice place? So I'm starting to think, oh, maybe I should move. And my neighbors are thinking, oh, maybe we should move. And so everybody's thinking, oh, we should move. And then the conversation about a strata windup comes up. Presumably, the first thing that happens when that conversation about a strata windup comes up is, who's going to buy us out, right? So obviously, you're going to need to speak to a realtor, and that realtor will need to have a conversation with a developer. Not all places are going to be attractive to a developer, and we're going to talk about that a little bit in a minute. But there's lots of stuff. It's not a quick thing. It takes, you know, 18 months to a year to wind up a strata. But some of the things that you really need to talk to a professional about are things like, how are disbursements done? Because disbursements to the owners from the funds of winding up the strata are different depending on when that strata was built. And that's complicated, but the information's out there. And certainly if you're speaking to a realtor who knows what they're doing, they're going to have this information. There are some people who specialize in just winding up stratas. I am not one of them, but I have done it before, and or I've been involved before, and I am always happy to talk to people about it. There's lots to know. And even having a kind of a bullet form frequently asked questions is pretty handy. So Jackie, the strata owner, it's me at the moment because we're using me. This is all made up. I don't own this place. Anyway, so my fellow strata owners and I have decided that we're going to wrap up the strata, and we have a developer and a realtor come in together, and they tell us exactly what's going to happen. Now, this is the part that I think that I have found not a lot of people recognize. So if a developer comes to my place and he sees that there's 4 acres of land and there are 120 units on that 4 acres of land, he then has to either know, because he's done this a million times, or contact both the city and now the province to find out how much can be built on that piece of land, how much of it needs to be rental housing, because those are some new guidelines put forth by the province. Is it worth it to buy out the owners? Because the owners are not going to be selling out at their $660 per square foot. If you want me to move, even if it's my idea and all my neighbors to move, there's got to be some kind of incentive for us to do so. I don't want to move. I don't want to sell my place for $660 a foot and find out that everything else in town costs $750 a foot and I can't afford to get into something new. So we have to figure out if it's worth it to the developer. Can he build enough? I don't want to gender the developer. Can the developer build enough units and make enough money selling them while also satisfying whatever municipality's rules around affordable housing and provincial rules around affordable housing, while also satisfying those details? So That's where the math comes in. And that's where you need to have a great agent who knows how to do that math, but also knows who to talk to at both City Hall and the province. Okay, so say my place is 1,000 square feet and the BC assessment has it in around $660,000 is the value of my home. That's $660 a square foot. I got to keep the math simple. How much do I want from the developer to move, right? It's kind of the question. And how much is everybody else going to want? Let's say the strata got together and we decided that we would be willing to sell to a developer if we got 1.5 times our BC assessment. So in my case, my $660,000 condo would now be worth $990,000. So keeping the math simple, let's say my place is, you know, maybe let's say a 2-bedroom, and there are smaller places and there are bigger places. And the average amount for the 120 units on my 4 acres is $1.5 million. That's the average buyout. So that's going to cost a developer $180 million to purchase this 4 acres of land in a really highly desirable part of North Vancouver. The developer now has to figure out if it's worth $180 million. It seems like a lot of money to me, but also these numbers are all just pie in the sky. They are not related to anything. I'm just making the numbers up, and that will go back to my disclaimer. Anyway, so developer A comes in and he says he finds out that he is permitted to build, let's say double it, so 240 units, 10% of which have to go to affordable housing. So 24 units to affordable housing, 240 minus 24 is 216. Okay, so he can now have 216 units at market value. He's going to have to pre-sell them in barely, you know, maybe a year and a half after he buys us out. So he's going to pre-sell them and he's going to do that at whatever the market value is at that time. So let's say it's $1,200 a foot just for this exercise. Hope you guys are having fun because I am. Just for the sake of argument, we'll make it $1,300 a foot, which is about double what they started with, what my place is currently worth in this fantasy scenario. So that would make the average cost, let's just say, again, to keep things simple, that he's building the same kind of 1, 2, 3 bedrooms. And if it's double, then the average price is, this is fun, $3 million. And he can sell 216 of those at average of $3 million. Whoa, that's like $650 million. Oh, but wait, we have not factored in how much it actually costs to build the places, the cost of carrying all that land and building for whatever it is, 2, 3 years that it takes to actually tear everything down and rebuild it. You know what? It's going to depend on the developer who will decide if this is a risk that he's willing to take. But I would suggest to you that most of it is reliant on how much can be built on the current piece of land. That's pretty important, and that's what the developer is going to be looking for. So these are kind of the things that you need to know about a strata windup in its fairly general sense. I mean, I did do some number crunching, but it is incredibly generalized because I'm not a developer. I don't know what kind of risk they want to take. It depends on the developer. So now's kind of the fun part. Developers are used to working in a certain way in Vancouver, North Vancouver, West Vancouver, anywhere they work, they're used to working in a certain way. And a few wrenches have been thrown into that mix in recent months with new provincial legislation. So things are going to be different. The province will require more affordable housing to be included in any development application. I'm going to get a developer on here to talk about this in a little bit, but federal government was trying to help things out by not charging GST to the developer, but that isn't trickling down to the consumer for a number of reasons. But there's so much to know about this stuff. I'm happy to dig into it deeper in a different episode. But for now, the strata wind up, this is the process for winding up a strata. Whether your strata is appropriate to be wound up is a whole other thing. You need to have a realtor come in and run all those numbers and figure out what to do. And it obviously, it makes a lot of sense to have a realtor who is connected to developers in the area that you live, because generally developers don't like to build in municipalities they're not familiar with. But again, the rules change every 5 minutes. So who knows? Thanks for listening. I had a lot of fun with this one. It was definitely something very interesting to me. I have a lot of people ask about winding up the strata. I would say I should have put it in like my top 10 buyers questions. It's such a hot topic question. Now that things in the Lower Mainland are getting older, like we're looking at places that are 40, 50, 60 years old now. So this is definitely something that comes up a lot. Part of the fun of having your own podcast is that you can promote your friends. And this week is no different. I have a cool friend. Her name is Courtney Campbell. She is the golf pro at Glen Eagles, our little golf course here in West Vancouver. I absolutely love Glen Eagles. I like to put my name on the standby list and jump on the course and play with new people all the time. It's just a little 9-hole with some challenging holes. Shout out to hole number 3. I hate you so much. I can't even. But but with Courtney's help, I have managed to improve my short game by quite a lot and had quite an approach shot a couple weeks ago on 9 that I have absolute proof of in the form of a photograph and testimony from the people that I was playing with. So if you are at all interested in becoming a better golfer or even a golfer, period, because she does these super cool beginner nights or nights for all levels called birdies, which is, oh my gosh, it's just awesome. So much fun. And I have to put away my upbringing from the Oshawa Golf Club, where you're screamed at if you're not ready to golf all the time. But anyway, if you absolutely have any questions about golf or want to be a better golfer, Courtney Campbell is your pro. No joke. Go see her. Sticking with the West Vancouver theme this week, I want to do a shout out to a book that I read a long time ago. It's by a West Van novelist, Canadian novelist and short story writer, Timothy Taylor. The book is called Stanley Park. I don't even know how to explain this to you guys. It is hilarious, bloody brilliant, so well written. I just loved it. The book is about a Vancouver chef named Jeremy, and he owns a little bistro. It's called The Monkey's Paw. And his dad, so I'm just going to go by my memory, but you can look it up. His dad is homeless and he lives in Stanley Park, and Jeremy's business is suffering a little bit. So he goes to talk to his dad, and his dad prepares him a meal of a duck that he caught in the park. And then in order to save some money, Jeremy starts to use some local fauna, I guess, to augment the menu of his restaurant. But there's also a murder mystery in there somewhere. I think I might've missed that part. I'm going to read it again, but anyway, great book, Stanley Park, support local. Canadian novelists don't really get a lot of hype, and I think we have some spectacular talent here in this country. So take a look, look for Stanley Park. I think you will really enjoy it. And just let me know if you've ever read it. Thanks for joining me on this week's episode of Keeping It Real, the Vancouver and Area Residential Real Estate Podcast. You can get Keeping It Real on my website at northvanhomesales.com/podcasts. Or you can get it on Spotify, and now you can get it on Apple Podcasts. I am always interested in your comments and would love to hear what you have to say. See you next week.